children around, so she sends her love to all the friends. And also, Gloria Luce came back from Europe, and she sent her love. She wanted to be remembered to all the friends here. Sent her love. She said she had a blessed time at the convention. And we can see that the affairs in the earth today, it was shocking to read that there was either 1 million or 2 million people that worked in Iraq and Kuwait, that their families were dependent on the salaries they were getting from both of those countries. So we can see what an upsetting thing this is to a lot of countries. It's putting a lot of countries, it's taxing them more than it's taxing America. So we can say that to see the troublous affairs that are going on, but we know the grand outcome. So Brother Charles chose the hymn especially because of the phrase in it, the Word of God. So we're looking for a blessing from the Lord, and Brother Charles will give the title of his book. Praise God.
Well, the book is the Word of God, or the Word of Jehovah. In the book, titled Pastor Russell's Sermons, and in the many discourses, only a little more than halfway to that remarkable book, on page 483, we find he gave a talk pertaining to the foremost unknown person in God even today. The discourse is entitled, When God Was Alone. What a subject and a message. He expounds by using the scriptures in his message immediately, citing among them Isaiah 57:15. It having these words, Thus saith the high and lofty one who inhabiteth the eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and a holy place. The verse, which first describes from when and where God abides, continues with the word that recognizes the humility of God for his creature. For the rest of the 15th verse, Isaiah 57:15, thus continues, And with him also, that is, of a contrite heart and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Thereby we accept our God, the one who abides from eternity. From when? From eternity. Moses identified the same God with these three words, the eternal God. Thus begins the Deuteronomy 33, chapter 33, and so also there's the rest of the verse. But we appreciate how more than one included messengers, the words are applied to prove certain remarks and statements. We cannot help but decide to remind that the public media loudly advanced an impossible claim about 20 or 30 years ago that this God actually died. How many remember that? Do you remember that time? It was beyond belief, but many people, I assume, accepted it. But this Almighty God is undiable. This God, who that is actually, he was alive and inhabited and lived in eternity prior to any creation, that he is living, enjoying his Sabbath rest, and a God having an immortal nature. He is immortal today. He is an immortal God for the ages and ages to come. But the whole creation to come will finally recognize and sensibly apprehend by faith, as we ourselves can see in Holy Spirit, in accordance to this latter portion of this words for them. For in his divine character, with his wonderful purpose he planned, that began in the greatness of his own spirit, which is holy, in wisdom, and includes with it justice, power, and love ascribed to him. After I had written today's discourse a few months ago, I came across in another of this discourse titled Qualities and Attributes of Jehovah, reprint page 52 of 9, dated April 1. It begins with this paragraph: the scriptures declare the beginning of the creation of God. His qualities were the same then that they are now, for the scripture also declares his unchangeableness, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it prescribes to Psalms 90:1-2 and Hebrews 13:8. I thought I'd bring this to your attention. Look up also the word sensibly and apprehend in the dictionary. Apostle Paul used that word apprehend in his letter to the Philippians in the 3rd chapter and the 12th verse, twice in the King James Version. He writes, "Not as though I had already attained, either was already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend of that which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." I looked up the word apprehend for control. It means to anticipate, to lay hold of with understanding, interpret the meaning of, to think, to believe, or to be of an opinion. The word apprehension, act of apprehending, apprehensive, capable of apprehending, quick to apprehend, discerning. I thought the words were appropriate for self too. But in the very next chapter, in page 491, Pastor Russell's sermon book, we have his discourse entitled "The Beginning of the Creation of God." Wide-eyed, we read that article, for it's about a subject of the Word of God, which scriptures make it plain for us, but we do not want to miss anything. And with these very verses of John 1-3 and the emphatic diaglot we so appreciate, for it proves many things as well as in the article, that being the Word of God, the Word as a God, was not the Almighty God. We read the emphatic diaglot: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with the God, and a God was the Word." In the English portion, the word Word is translated for us in the Greek as the word Logos. Again, we appreciate this understanding. Now, in the King James Version and the others, the letter A was left out by the translators. All their translations of their portion of the verse reading, "The Word was God," and what it should really read, "a God." But do you know, in Acts 28, verse 6, we have these very words correctly translated. That reads in all these versions, King James Version and Diaglot, we read, "Changing their minds, they said, he is a God." See, they have the word, the letter A there. The letter A is not left out, and the necessity of the topic, the Greek word for the translation is correctly provided. And Acts 28, verse 6, was the simplicity of an event recorded in annuals doing some similar events of the Holy Writings, also given to us for edification. The barbarian saw this venomous viper hang on his hand when he lifted it up, and Paul did not die. The beloved John writes in the well-known 3rd chapter, even by the known by the Christian public, John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," and so on. But to us, John 14 and the 15th verse has become a very familiar recently to us. And we read 14 and 15, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and that all whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an eternal life." A precious promise. Jesus himself also said in John 12, 32 and 33, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This is that signifying what death we should die. For we know how he died on the cross, the sacrifice he offered as God's will for all mankind, and who from the loins of Adam had been bitten and poisoned to death by the serpent Satan in the garden east of Eden. Now in the wilderness, that account provides in Numbers 21:5-9 of that copper serpent which was used to heal the sin-sick people who confessed their illness, repented, and looked at that copper serpent hung on the wooden cross pole. But 2 Kings 18:4 on King Hezekiah, that thing made of copper on the pole had become a thing of idolatry. It had to be broken to pieces. Yet even today, paganized churches worship and pray to crosses bearing images and shed blood and break bread symbolically, crucifying Christ daily by celebrating the Mass, thus denying the merit of Christ Jesus as having any merit for the Adamic sin in our day. But any form of idolatry should be frowned upon. Let us note in Revelation 3:14 first. It reads, "And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, These things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." We recognize the Amen, the faithful witness and truth, the beginning of the creation of Jehovah, as the Logos, the Word of Jehovah, and the angel, the messenger. There we recognize, as Pastor Russell says, Charles K. Russell. Let us read Revelation 19:6-10. It reads, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen and righteousness of the saints. And he said to them, Write, blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And they said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And the 10th verse reads, And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren, and have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God for the testimony of Jesus with the spirit of prophecy. We are not to idolize a pastor, nor anyone, nor ourselves. And Mark 10 reads, For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and give his life a ransom for many. In this talk, we find the scriptures compiled finally provide the understanding of whom our Master, the Word of God and truth is. And Luke 24:44, he said to them, These are my words when I spake to you, while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. In fact, on the way to Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem, it was he speaking to the true disciples, of course, 25-27 of that same chapter, Luke 24, he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. But now, let us return to our topic. Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Colossians, 1 chapter, verses 15-17, of who was the beginning of the God's creation. The 1 chapter, verses 15-17. Who is the invisible, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones of dominions and principalities of powers, all things were created by him and for him. Finally, I repeat, all things were created by him and for him. And verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him, and all things consist. Thus, John's first chapter, second verse, corroborates, that is, makes things more certain. The same was in the beginning with the God. By him, that is, by the Logos, were all things made, and without him was not anything made that was made. And I want to remind you, like we read in the first, in the 15th verse, he was the image of the invisible God, the first time that he was. Apostle Paul, referring to God himself, we read in Hebrews 1, verse 1, and we use the word God. Then we begin with verse 2. We read that God had in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, yes, by God through the ages. These occasions of in the beginning were happy ones. Proverbs 8:22-35, even in these verses, the word is speaking to us today. Verses 30 and 31 we will read now. Chapter 8. Then I was by him as one was with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delight were with the sons of men. Job chapter 38, verse 7. Jehovah speaking for Job says, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Hebrews, the first chapter, again, verses 4 and 5 to verses 12, the verses retain the spiritual joy, purpose, and loving work that are achieved. Apostle Paul truly was blessed and inspired to provide these truths that are of the word, a more remarkable recognition will be his forever from his God. We read the verses 4 to 12 in our first chapter of Hebrews. Being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, and unto which the angels said he at any time, thou art my son. For which of these angels had he at any time said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he said, who made his angel spirit and his ministers a flame of fire? And to the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy throne. 9:12. And thou hast loved righteousness and hast hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the works of thine hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. He was there at the creation of the very first man, Adam. In Genesis 1:26, the Almighty One speaking to him said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl, the birds of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female created he them. David in Psalms 40 and verse 5 wrote of God, but speaking for the word of God in the flesh, for it is the praise the Almighty God who wrote in chapter 40 verse 5, many Jehovah, my God, are your wonderful works that you have done, and your thoughts which are for us word, they cannot be reckoned up in order to be. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Psalms 139 verses 13 to 18 speaks for the rest of us. I'll read it. Psalms 139, 13 to 18. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, and when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And when I make awake, I will still be with them. But this finally made man and woman, we are discovering, even as we ourselves are, but not as yet perfect as those first two, who also were ordained a king and her a queen, for they were given dominion over the earth and all its environments. Yes, mankind, when they attain to be knowledgeable even after the flesh, when they are restored and returned away from the grave to seek the perfection of the health of mind and body and live their life longer as those before. Enoch lived 365 years, as did even Methuselah, who lived, we know, 969 years. We ourselves, as new creatures, are spiritually called over the new nature as attained by Jesus, the head of the members of his body of immortality. For those who may have received the everlasting spiritual nature of the great company class, as to the angels of the heavenly realm. We believe the word of Jehovah was an angel, or rather really an archangel, which God also sent to convey his messages to the ancient worthies. In the scriptural studies, volume 5, entitled The Atonement Between God and Man, page 43, paragraph 2, our pastor writes of Christ Jesus appeared to Abraham and Moses in a pre-human state, as also comments, biblical comments, Exodus 3 and 2, as to who was the angel of the Lord. Thus, the word can be identified as visiting to many of the scriptural patriarchs and prophets. Excuse me, please. The word of Jehovah in Isaiah 28, verses 9 to 13, we read, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. But precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, and with stammering lips and another tongue, will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith he may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing, yet they would not be. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. As the scriptures, the Bible itself was used to receive the milk of its word, and its truth to eat the truth as meat, material to eat the truth as meat. Also in Psalms 119, 103 to 105, I'd like to read them in the scripture here. Psalms 119, 103 to 105. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I can understand, therefore I hate every false word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In the same Psalms 160, the sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous ordinances endureth forever. There's also of that 119 verses 165 to 168. Great peace have they that love thy law, for they have no occasion of stumbling. I have hoped for thy salvation, Jehovah. I have done thy commandments. My soul hath observed thy testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I have observed thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Most of the visits of the Word of God is giving the message of the Almighty God in many instances of God's anger of the people mentioned in these chapters. Especially in a book by Prophet Ezekiel in particular. Ezekiel in his book records 70 times, if not more, at this hasty count of the Word of God, which made a personal visit to this prophet for this purpose. Ezekiel, a great prophet, who spoke to the sons of Israel when they were living in captivity in Babylon, much of it when they were lived there for years. They are now reminded why they are there in Babylon, but the writings of Ezekiel being the message of God by the Word refers also to Egypt and to Pharaoh, that is in the 30th chapter, and even to Lebanon in the 34th chapter, and other countries and cities too. Many of these prophecies have already taken place and are past, and are citing them as an example. There are events to take place in our day, and their judgment is called for in the future. But let us now turn to the 30th chapter of Ezekiel. The verse 1 reads, the word of Jehovah came again to me, saying, yes, many of the of our previous chapters begin with these very words in the first or second verses. Even again, Ezekiel records again and again of these events in the same chapters. The word came and spoke and instructed Ezekiel. The second words is likewise short and explicit. He addresses Ezekiel, son of man. Actually, in Hebrew, the word for man is Adam, and it's not Ish. In other words, Ezekiel's lineage or family can be traced back to Adam, even as ours can, through Noah, family, and his three sons, Shem, Japheth, and to Adam. Using the concordance and, first of all, the scriptures itself in Ezekiel, I made a count for it, like I said, 70. And I also write down here, saying, son of man, Ezekiel 3:17. It reads, son of man, that is Adam, to Ezekiel, I have made thee a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. So what the word is doing is using the word that Jehovah is wanting them to express and is saying them. That is why some people think to claim the word of God may be God himself, but no, this is the word of God speaking for Jehovah, the word. Now, as we mentioned before, Ezekiel came, the word, more than 68 times. But when the word then spoke to him, he reiterated the words of son of Adam 94 times. In other words, in one chapter, he might use the word, the Sikhama uses the word came, and then the word would use him instead of Adam. And then they use the word man, or even man, after an Hebrew Adam 23 more times. So in all, 117 times. Why are we, or even he, compresses in this one book these words? And about this, the word of God coming to visit him. The Almighty One, and even the Word, is exemplifying as a pattern that which is the coming of flesh. Even as Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, I am determined not to make known not anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Galatians 4:4-6, you know. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, verses 5 and 6, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive that the adoptions of sons, that we also might be adopted as sons. And we're reading verse 6 next, that you too may be included as His sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, praying, Abba, which means Father. John also writes of the Son of Man in his letter, the 12th chapter, the 23rd verse, and said, Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come, the Son of Adam shall be glorified. And now verses 27 to 30. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this cause came I to this world. Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it, will glorify it, will glorify it again. The 29th verse, the people therefore heard it, said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Verse 44, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him who sent me. In the same chapter 12, verses 32-34, we read this portion before. Jesus speaking, if I be lifted up from earth, but draw men unto me, this he said, signifying what death he shall die. The people answered him, we have heard of the law, that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? We answer this, and also, if you will, you can look into the Green Book, the Expanded Biblical Comments. We read at the close of this article of Revelation, the 19th chapter, verses 10 to 15, and verse 21. We will read only verses 12 and 13. His name was a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written no man knew, but he himself. In verse 13, he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God.
Thank you, Brother Charles. Indeed, the topic of the greatness of our Heavenly Father, the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father, the only direct creation of God, and all the scriptures that were brought out to show that greatness, are indeed encouraging to us in regard to the captain of our salvation. So we'll ask Brother Charles to close with prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the meeting also.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, in the times of privilege we have had before thee to receive the blessing of thy word, thou hast provided the seed, and thou art the one that will provide its growth. We thank you for the privilege we have to pray and just like continue blessing me out of favor and him. Thank you.